I'd like us to turn this afternoon to verse 17 of the chapter we read from Revelation. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And I'd like us to think upon the words of this verse. It is in the conclusion of the book of Revelation. It draws, as it were, to a close the whole of Scripture. And here we see the Lord directing us to the way of salvation at the end of his revelation, at the end of his scripture that he has given to mankind. Still he cries out, come, come to be saved from your sin. Throughout Revelation, the book of Revelation is about the spiritual warfare that occurs between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan. Satan does not want Christ to be glorified. He does not want him to be exalted. And he will do all he can to damage the work of Christ upon this earth. And that is why we see the gospel hampered at every point. Why we see a government starting to clamp down on the freedom of expression of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the kingdom of Satan, because Satan does not want people saved from their sin. He wants them to suffer with him in eternity, in that second death that we read about this morning, that lake of fire. Satan seeks to destroy the work of Christ and to destroy the church of Christ throughout this world. But what the book of Revelation teaches us is that Satan has been vanquished on the cross of Calvary, and he will be finally vanquished on that great and coming day. It is a certainty that it will come. It was inevitable once the Allied forces landed on the beaches of Normandy on the 6th of June that the Second World War would come to an end with Germany and Japan's defeat. It was inevitable, but it took time. Christ has already won the crushing victory against Satan on the cross of Calvary. When Christ gave up himself and suffered the eternal punishment for the sins of his people, Satan was vanquished. Satan was destroyed. Death was destroyed. But we will not see the fulfillment of that until Christ returns in all his glory and splendor. And at that point, Satan will be judged and cast into the lake of fire. It is an awful judgment, and he knows it is coming. But for all that, he fights. Just as the Nazi regime fought against the Allied forces, knowing the inevitable outcome, but seeking to destroy as many as they could, so Satan continues the fight until Christ comes, and he will come. And in the meantime, the gospel goes forth in this world in the light of that warfare, and it is Christ's means of drawing lost souls to himself. And so here in verse 17, we find the Spirit says, come. come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved from your sin. Come to the river of the water of life and take freely of that water of life. The Holy Spirit says, come. Will we resist him? Will we try to suppress his word in our hearts and minds so that we will not come? The church, the bride, as it's called here, the church of Christ says, come. Will we not listen to what the church cries out for the salvation of our souls? When we preach the gospel, will we not listen to those who tell us that there is no other hope, there is no other way of salvation but in the Lord Jesus Christ? As we hear the testimonies of those who have been saved, whose lives we have seen changed, and cannot explain how they could stop that lying, how they could stop that swearing, how they could become so humble when they were so proud before. It can only be explained by the new life that Christ has given them. And when we see these testimonies, will we not come also, acknowledging our sin, acknowledging our need of Christ to be our Saviour, that there is nothing we can do to save ourselves? And even those who hear say, come. Those who hear alongside us acknowledge that there is no other way of salvation. Those of us who are the Lord's here, how many times have people said to us, I wish I had your faith. They hear and they do not come. But they almost acknowledge and say to others, come, because they acknowledge that we have something they don't have. Will we not even listen to that testimony? I would say to people when they told me that, but you can come, you can be saved from your sin. And we must simply believe as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and let him that is athirst come. Do we have that great thirst in our souls? Someone who is thirsty, when we get thirsty, we must drink water. We must have it. When we are truly thirsty, we must drink of that water. Nothing else will do us. We start to feel ourselves get tired, more and more tired and weary. We perhaps start to lose our speech. We are thirsty. We must drink. Is that how we see our souls? Cut off from God, far from him. And we know that without him, we have no purpose, no meaning. Life is empty. It is just a boring round from one day to the next. And we find no purpose or satisfaction in life without Christ. We are thirsty, and yet we do not come to the one who alone can satisfy our thirst. Do we have that ache within us that knows that we are far from God, that we have sinned and that we have displeased him and disobeyed him? Do we have that ache that says we must know him? And yet we seek to find the quenching of our thirst in so many other things. Maybe it's in social media. Maybe it's in TV programs. Maybe many people turn to drink to blot out their sorrows and their heartaches. Some people turn to work and become workaholics just to blot out, to try and get some kind of satisfaction in life. For many, it is they must have better purchases, they must have a better home, they must improve their home in some way or another. They must get that other car that they need, they say. And they are seeking to find satisfaction and purpose in the things of this world that can never quench the thirst of our souls, that can never satisfy. It's like drinking seawater. It just makes you more thirsty, more aware of your need. And yet people pursue the goals and purchases of this life and give their all to it, to quench their thirst, to quench the reason for being. What is the purpose of it all? And so they seek purpose in the fading things of this world. And yet Christ calls out, the Spirit calls out, the Church calls out, come. Let him that is athirst come. Come to Christ. Come to this water of life. We read in verse 1 of chapter 22, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. That is where we come, to the throne of God and of the Lamb. This is where the pure river of the water of life can be found. We come to his throne in prayer. It is a throne of grace, of mercy, of kindness. The Lord God longs to satisfy our thirst, our need of him. He longs to give life to those who will seek him, who will come to him, to be washed, to be made clean. Do we come to the throne of grace in prayer and confess our sin and confess our need of Christ, to confess that we nailed him to that cross with our sin, to confess that we long for him to forgive us, for without his forgiveness, we have no hope. Will we come to him? But notice, whoever will, whosoever will, anybody can come. Everybody can come. There is no reason why anyone should not come. Whatever religion or creed we've been brought up in, whatever our status is in this life, whatever good works we think we have done, whatever riches we may or may not have, however old we may be, wherever we were born upon this earth, anyone can come, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Anyone and everyone. There are no bars, there are no exceptions. All may come and drink of the water of life freely. It is our own disobedience that keeps us from coming. Christ does not hold anyone back. Christ does not bar anyone. Whosoever will. Are we willing to come? Do we long to come? Do we long to have our sins forgiven and to know eternal life from the Lord Jesus Christ? And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's like that spring that we can find occasionally out in the countryside. And anyone can put their hand in that spring and drink that water. They take of that water and they have their thirst quenched. Anyone may come to Christ and take of the water that he so freely gives. He does not withhold it from anyone. You can come as you are and pray to the Lord, and he will give eternal life. If we come in the right spirit, a spirit of humility, the person who must drink and take of that spring, maybe they have to get down on their hands and knees. It is muddy, and naturally they stand back from it. But if they don't drink of it, they will still be thirsty. Will we come as we are, recognizing our sin and taking that which is freely offered? Let him take the water of life freely. Water of life. Water is the picture used to give life. And how much have we found ourselves throughout life that that glass of water has been so refreshing and satisfied our thirst? And so Christ uses the illustration of water, the water of life. Here is life in this water. Come to Christ. It is pure, clean water. That is what we are told in verse 1. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. The waters of this world are contaminated. The waters of this world are full of impurities, and they cannot give life. In fact, they only give death. They contribute to our death. And with more and more we drink of this world, the further we are from Christ. But he offers pure water, water of life, water that gives eternal life. Are we willing to come to him as we are and take of this water of life? Now, water satisfies. Water gives us, it quenches our thirst. It provides us with satisfaction and strength. Such a simple thing. And yet, it gives us that strength we need to carry on with what we are doing when we are so thirsty. Water satisfies. The water of life gives true satisfaction to all lives. It gives purpose and meaning. It gives eternal life to all who will come to Christ and trust him for salvation. Water refreshes. It makes us feel buoyed. It gives us strength again. It gives us, imparts to us when we drink the water, a new lease of life, as it were. Water refreshes. And this water of life does indeed give us that new lease of life to live for Christ and to follow him. Water cleanses. How much do we rely upon water to clean our cutlery and our crockery and our clothes? We may have machines that do these things for us now, but it is water that drives the whole cleansing operation. And the water of life will cleanse us from our sin. Come and take it freely. Ask Christ to bless this water of life to our souls, to give us eternal life, to cleanse us from our sin, those deepest sins which it seems to us can never be cleansed, can never be washed clean. And yet the blood of Christ can do that work. because of what he did on the cross of Calvary, when he bore the punishment of sin. He took upon himself the guilt and shame of all who will trust him. And so he can make the foulest clean. He can make us clean from our sin, if only we will come and trust him. And water is clear. It is transparent. And so this water of life gives integrity, gives transparency. We no longer need to hide things. We are no longer ashamed of what we do and who we are, because Christ has given us life. And water can be used to drive things. There is the water mill there at Woodbridge that is driven by the tide. And there are, when mills were more abundant in this land, there were many that were driven by water, which enabled the making of bread. The water of life gives new energy and purpose to a person's life. To know Christ, to live for him, gives meaning and purpose in life, knowing that it produces fruit that is eternal, as opposed to the work of this world, which soon comes and then is gone. Mr. Harley reminded me yesterday of a project I used to work on in the 1990s. And by the year 2000, all the work had gone. It was no more. And yet we spent hundreds of thousands on this project. And people did great labor on this work, and yet it was all gone within a matter of years. But the water of life gives purpose and meaning that will continue forever. The project of Christ for the salvation of lost souls will never fail. It will never be lost. It will never die. And there is never any waste in the work of Christ. So whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There is nothing we can bring that will buy this life for us. We cannot pay the price for the forgiveness of our sins. Christ has paid the price. He gave himself freely so that we may take the water of life freely. He gave himself up completely that our sins might be washed away, that he might give life to all who will trust him. Will we come to him? The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Why would we hold back? Why will we not come to Christ and trust him as our Saviour and look to him for the forgiveness of our sins? Let him that is athirst come. Are we thirsty? Do we see our need of the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the only one who can give us true meaning and purpose in life. And whoever we are, we may come and take this water of life freely, because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the cost. He has suffered the punishment for sin so that we can be spared that eternal punishment. Will you trust him as your Saviour? Will you come to him and cry out for forgiveness, for cleansing, for purpose and meaning in life? Look to the Lord Jesus. Come to him to be your Saviour and trust him as your Saviour. Let us conclude our worship in the singing of hymn number 409.